In the midst of the Arab Spring, Bassam Youssef rose to TV stardom. He started making satirical YouTube videos in his apartment's laundry room and eventually became the star of Egypt's most watched TV show. But after poking fun at Egypt's leaders, from Hosni Mubarak to Mohamed Morsi to the current president, al-Sisi, the government decided they didn't want him to do it anymore. Youssef fled Egypt. He's since become an international figure. Here he is on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Is there anything familiar about Donald Trump to
other
you?
Than being orange?
Yes.
I think he reminds people like me who come here and stay in America, they're like homesick for dictatorship, and he provides that.
Bassam Youssef is currently on tour. He's doing a public event at UW-Madison on November 8th. He joins us now.
Bassam, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, how are you guys?
Well, good. And I want to start kind of at the beginning of your media career. Here you are. You were this doctor making satirical YouTube videos in your laundry room, then a TV show. And then why do you think your program got so much attention so quickly in Egypt?
Because we did something that I think it was needed for a very long time. For 60 years, the only kind of satire that was allowed was social satire. It was people found it refreshing when they found someone making fun of authority, making fun of the people who have been brainwashing them and, lying to them right in their face, instead of just like making the very safe, predictable kind of comedy of everyday social comedy. And so it's kind of like as if it almost struck a nerve, you know? And I think this is why it was very well received in the beginning. And it was very controversial, too, because people started to say, well, are we allowed to use profanity? Are we allowed to speak against everything that we consider sacred and untouchable? So satire in itself is a pretty much an offensive art. And it was watched by everybody, those who liked it and those who didn't.
And it put you in legal peril. I mean, you couldn't make fun of a particular leader's hat without potentially getting into legal trouble, right?
Yeah, that was under the Muslim Brotherhood. But also after the Muslim Brotherhood, what happened that I was not allowed to make fun of the ridiculous claims that were made by the military. So basically, the military and the Muslim Brotherhood, they don't like me that much.
Is there something about a dictatorship and authoritarian government that's inherently absurd that cries out for political satire?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody who comes and he believes that he is the best out there, he is the greatest, the best, the all-knowing, it just invites satire. And this is why those people, those authoritarian leaders, are the most sensitive to satire, because it kind of undermines this fake image that they project for themselves. And this is why the first targets of any authoritarian regimes are comedians, satirists, and stand-up comedians, cartoonists.
You went through the Arab Spring, this wave of hope, not just in Egypt, but in a number of other countries as well, only to end up, as you say, under Muslim Brotherhood rule, and then military authoritarian dictatorship again. I mean, that's a massive crushing of hope. How do you still find something funny in that?
Well, there's always something funny about how dictators take themselves too seriously. There was a brief moment of hope, a period of hope, 3 years, that we thought that things would be different. Yeah, but even as our hopes were crushed, we always find the humor of how massive groups of people were being brainwashed and believed fake news. I mean, fake news is always a great material to make fun of. And this is what we were doing in our show. And this is where we were finding humor. And basically, we went out laughing.
You were ultimately forced to flee Egypt. What was that decision like for you to come here to the United States?
Well, I was very conflicted about that, but that was my only option to leave the country because it was not safe anymore. I didn't want to wake up and find myself either banned from traveling or, I don't know, under some sort of an arrest. So leaving I didn't have any choice about like leaving or staying. But the fact coming here in America and starting to reinvent and recreate your career again, the different language, different audience, all from scratch, that was a little bit daunting and terrifying, still is. I'm still trying to build my career here, and I hope I make it.
And you are here in the United States. You've got this unique perspective. What do you find funny and absurd about American politics now?
Do you really need
where
to
do you,
ask this
Where
question?
Do you want to start?
Where can you start? Where do you stop? I mean, it's kind of like the funniest thing is like it's as if Donald Trump would like to have the unlimited powers of a Middle Eastern dictator, and he's kind of like feeling envy that he can't. So he's trying to operate with whatever tools he has.
We are pretty quick, I think, in the United States to raise the specter of tyranny in our country. People accused President Obama of being an authoritarian dictator. Now people raising concerns about President Trump coming from dictatorships. What do you think when you hear that here in the United States?
I think people consider anything that is against their beliefs and their political leaning as a kind of a dictatorship. So it's kind of like it's dictatorship unless he's on my side, so I can accept that.
What kind of parallels or differences do you see here in the United States versus Egypt? And I know you're watching the whole world and how things are going now. What comparisons do you make?
Well, how people can believe ridiculous things in order to strengthen their own beliefs, how people are willing to give up reason and ignore logic in order to believe things or narratives or political messages as long as it fits with their own belief system. I think it's more of a human thing, not just like an American or Middle Eastern thing.
Does political satire have the potential to burst that bubble, to shake us out of our ridiculous beliefs sometimes?
Only if you are willing to. I mean, people would need to be willing to listen. If you're not willing to listen, not political satire, not anything will change your mind. Because we look many of the liberal circles like celebrate the late night comedians and how they're changing the narrative. They're not. I mean, do you think those people who on the other side of the spectrum listen to them? No, I don't think so.
So how do you reach out? How do you get a message to those people who disagree, who won't find the parody funny?
Well, maybe you can't. I think people are just like putting too much pressure on satire and comedy. It's not a magic pill. You would reach people who are willing to listen. If people don't will to listen, there's nothing you can do.
I want to look at a project you're working on here in the United States now. I understand you're developing a new TV comedy with Larry Wilmore. It's about a Middle Eastern superhero family. This is for ABC. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's still in development. We're still working on the pilot, and it's too early. I'm going to celebrate when it's green-lighted into series. So it's we're just very early in the project. But I really hope that like we make it, because that will make a ton of difference for me, for people like me, for kind of like having our own foothold in and own footprint into the media field in America. And you know, it's gonna be refreshing to see Arabs in shows other than Homeland.
Yeah, and we love our superheroes here in the United States. And I understand at least the premise here is that the parents of this family, they're superheroes, but they have to be secret about it because superheroes are illegal. Can you talk about this superhero metaphor for immigrants, especially from the Middle East?
Yeah, well, there's like repercussions for like doing for what we call supering. It's still really in development, but you know, having a superhero family that are Middle Eastern would be pretty cool, right?
And now you've gone around the United States over the last couple of years. You've gone to political rallies and gun shows and things like that. First of all, how do you feel as someone from the Middle East in settings where people, at least in the abstract, may not be fond of people in the United States from the Middle East?
I find it challenging. I mean, I don't look as a typical Middle Eastern. I have like blue eyes, and I don't have like that scary beard that they all think that all Muslims are. So it sometimes it's nice to be like a fly on the wall while listening to them like dissing us while I'm sitting there and smiling.
Now, you're living here in the United States. In effect, you're in exile from Egypt. You're starting over. Are you still looking back at Egypt and hoping the day will come when you can go back there and pick up where you left off?
Maybe. I mean, I don't think that much about that. I think right now about what I'm doing here, what my career is going to be like, and what change I can do where I'm living here right now. I have my one-man show that I take around. I'm going to be in Madison soon on the 8th of November. And I have a book out called Revolution for Dummies. It's on Amazon. The paperback is going to come soon in December. And I'm promoting Tickling Giants, hopefully for an Oscar nomination. And there's this pilot I'm working on.
All right, well, good luck with all of that. Bassem, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Bassem Youssef is a political satirist who's been dubbed the Jon Stewart of Egypt. He joined us ahead of his event in Madison at the Wisconsin Union Theater on November 8th.